Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly a joy to be in God's house today. We do want to welcome you to the services here at Meridian Baptist Church. If you are visiting with us, we're glad that you're here. And as always, our heartbeat and our prayer and our passion is that you experience God's presence as we worship the Lord together. Please do us a favor. We want to get acquainted with you and get to know you better. Please take just a few moments this morning and fill out a guest card there in the pew. And simply place that in the offering plate at the appropriate time so that we can rejoice in your attendance with us today. We were blessed today to have 108 in Sunday school. To God be the glory. We're thankful for that. And let me just say this. If you are not part of a Sunday school class, we want to encourage you as we're about to begin a new year, 2025. What a great time to find a Bible fellowship class that you can be a part of. So just a great ministry of the church, our Sunday school ministry. I did want to say a quick word about that. We've had a busy weekend, and I just want to give glory to God for all of the wonderful things that He has done this week in the life of Meridian Baptist Church. I know that this past Friday we had our Mission of Hope project up at Huntsville Elementary School in Scott County. I was encouraged by the response of our people, and it was such a blessing to see the faces of the children as we were able to minister to them and provide Christmas gifts for their families and also share the ultimate gift of Jesus Christ. Again, I want to thank everybody that was a part of that project, and I know God has used that through the years in a mighty, mighty way. Yesterday was our food box project, and I'm thankful for all those that came together to serve those, and also just throughout the last few months, if you contributed in any capacity, thank you for all that you've done to make it happen. It was a joy to see God work through that project as well. So we had a very busy week in the life of the church, and it really doesn't end. Tomorrow night, I do want to give a quick plug for our senior adult ministry. We'll be going to see the Nativity presentation there at the Civic Center. We'll be leaving the church tomorrow at 5:30. So if you'd like to be a part of that trip, make sure you contact the church office and sign up, and we'll be leaving here at 5:30 tomorrow evening. Let's have a word of prayer. Today's a very special day. This is our annual Christmas musical. It's always one of the highlights of the year. And I just want to ask God's blessing as we dedicate this service to Him and give Him this time. Let's pray together. Father, we are forever grateful for just the privilege that we have, that we can come together to worship You and to praise You. Lord, today is a special day as we celebrate through song. Lord, thank You for our choir. Thank You for our musicians and all those who have prepared for this day. Lord, we ask that through these hymns and these songs that Your name would be glorified. Father, that Your name would be made great. And Father, our heartbeat and our prayer and our passion is that through the gospel message and song, and even for the message that I'll bring afterwards, Lord, that You'll just take all this and beautifully tie it all together where people hear the gospel, that people know the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the reason for the season. Father, we praise You for all things. We give You the glory, the honor that You so rightly deserve. And Father, if there's anybody here today that needs to be saved, we pray that today would be the day of salvation. And Father, we also pray for those that may be listening by way of social media. Father, I pray that You would just use our time together today as a congregation to minister to those that are watching by YouTube or Facebook. Father, we are grateful for the blessings of life, and we're forever grateful for this season, this time of the year that we come together to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we love You and we praise You, and we ask all of this in the beautiful, powerful, precious name, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Brother Dick,
would you stand, please? Everybody sing.
The first Noel the angel did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. No way.
may be seated.
I'm going to have our children's department go ahead and come forward with their Sunday school teachers. I believe that we have some gifts for Lottie Moon Christmas offering, the stockings that the children have been working on. So children, if you'll make your way forward, and Sunday school teachers, if you want to assist with that, that would be great. Y'all come forward. All right. Good deal. We're going to lay these at the altar. And I have a passage of scripture that I would like to read as we dedicate these to the Lord. Look at all these beautiful children. Let's give God the glory. All right, and I thought it'd be very fitting that we would look at the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 as we have been taking up our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. The children have been doing that in their Sunday school classes. Certainly encouraging to see them do that each and every year. But listen to these words from Matthew chapter 28. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so our prayer today, and really this is a prayer for the entire church, as we all have collectively been giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and we still have a few weeks to do that throughout the month of December. But our prayer is that God would use our resources and our tools as a church family of Meridian, that God would use that to further the gospel. And I want to have a special word of prayer as we dedicate these offerings to the Lord. God, we thank you for these children. Lord, we thank you for what the children mean to our church family. And Lord, we know that as they have diligently been bringing in the offering for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, Lord, we're thankful that we have the opportunity just to teach the children the importance of missions and the furtherance of the gospel. Father, we do pray this morning specifically for these donations and these contributions that are being brought forward today, that you would specifically use them to further your kingdom. Lord, that people would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, that it be used to help missionaries all across the world. Father, to know that Meridian Baptist Church right here in Knoxville, Tennessee, has had a part and a role in furthering the gospel and the children's ministry of our church. Father, we ask a special blessing upon this offering, and we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Brother Tommy, I'll turn it over to you.
All right, kids, how many of you are excited about Christmas? What are you looking for? Oh, I got them going. I'm sorry. What are you looking forward to? What do you like about Christmas? It's God's birthday. Yeah, y'all looking forward to getting some presents or anything? Yeah. Yeah, I've got all the right answers, but I'm just asking about what you're excited about. Yes, sir. You get to celebrate Jesus' birthday? Y'all like the presents? Does anybody like the presents? Do the presents make you happy?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me tell you something. You know, there's one thing I think that's even better than happiness. Yeah, Alicia, what you got?
Jesus.
Okay. What's better than happiness? Happiness and joy. You hit it right on the head. All right. Better than happiness is joy. You know why? Happiness depends on, it's an emotion. It depends on circumstances and things, and it disappears pretty quickly. But joy comes from God. And that's what our candle is about today. You see that pink candle right there? That is the Bethlehem candle, or the shepherd's candle, or whatever, and it is to represent joy. So if you want to come up here, I'll let you help me. We're going to light the candles again. All right, let's see if we can do it. You may have to hold my hand here. Let's start over here with this one. All right, there's one. There's two. All right, now put your hand on mine. We'll go there. We'll get three. All right, you know, that's what the angel said to the shepherds when he appeared. That one's for next week. We got to go one more week because it's all getting ready for Christmas. All right, sit back down again, And I'll tell you about what the angel said. Oh, did it go out? I didn't light it very well, did I? I may have to get a degree in candle lighting here. All right, they gave me a defective candle. No wonder. It's only got a tiny little wick. Okay, there it goes. Hopefully it won't. It'll go a little bit higher. All right. Do you know what the angel said to the shepherds when he came? He said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. And it is great joy that we get from us. Joy doesn't mean just necessarily good things that happens. It says in the Bible that we need to count it all joy even when we have trials. Any of you ever have a math test? That was a, oh, you love math tests. Okay. That sometimes can be a trial, but God says to count it all joy. So let's thank God for the joy that he gives us. Are you ready? Let's be still. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the good news of great joy that you give us. Help us to spread that joy to other people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be sure to leave your offering, children. On the altar table there. I've got to do a better job teaching our deacons how to use a lighter, right? So, all right. I do want to draw your attention to the front of the bulletin. You talk about joy. I believe this passage would certainly embrace a season of joy. But Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, it says this: Christ holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand together, take time out, and greet your neighbor.
Thank you. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time of year. Knowing it, Jesus had chose to leave his throne room to come to earth to save me, a sinner. I thank you so much for this, Lord. Thank you for this church and these people that have gathered in your name to worship you, praise you. We're just so thankful for all that he does for us and watching over us. And just pray that you'll be with this tithes, that you'll use it to enhance your kingdom. And it is in our Lord's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Of the prophet Isaiah, we are told, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Today we rejoice and celebrate the fulfillment of that promise, the living hope we have in Jesus, born on Christmas Day.
Oh,
every strand of earth becomes holy ground as the tiny babe, his arrival greeted by angels and shepherds, sweetly rests in his mother's arms. She marvels, weeping tears of joy and amazement at his birth, his promised holy child, lovingly cradled in her arms. In the moment of Christ's child's birth, a heavenly song resounded, a song that all creation could forever sing, the song of Emmanuel, God with us. Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient of days. That prophecy was given 700 years before the birth of Christ, but in God's timing, Bethlehem began to awaken. The gift had been promised. Heavenly invitations went forth, manifesting in spectacular ways. Mary and Joseph followed their invitation to go to Bethlehem. A compelling invitation was communicated to the shepherds by an angel who invited them to go and see what had happened in Bethlehem. Others were invited to go find the Christ child. Their invitation? God sent their invitation in a star. Brightly shining, the star led the way to a Savior. And the promise of a Savior, of sins forgiven, and life eternal, that promise is available still today for to all who will come. listen and hear. Hear the sound of a silent, holy night. Now, listen more closely. For rising up from within the heart of this silent night emerges the sound of great rejoicing. It is the sound of a night immersed in solemn stillness, suddenly coming alive with the sound of angels singing a song of highest praise in honor of his birth. But today, perhaps in your own silent night, instead of Christmas joy, there's sadness. But you're not alone. Heaven hears your heart's cry, full of loneliness and despair. Jesus is listening, for all you have lost is hope. He is saying, hope is here. My child, I have come to seek and to save, and my love will find you there in your silent night.
All is calm and all is bright everywhere but in your heart tonight. They're singing carols of joy and peace, but you feel too far gone and too far out of reach.
To find you somewhere in your silent night.
Come, behold your King. Come and worship him with hearts full of praise to the King of Kings.
Born unto us this day.
All of the earth rejoice this Christmas night. be seated. We're going to have a quick word of prayer and just ask God's blessing upon a situation that's arisen in our choir loft. Let's pray. Father, we do know that you are the great physician. And Father, we ask right now that you would just be with Miss Margaret, that you would just surround her with your presence and your love and your continual care. Lord, we know that you're the great physician, so we pray believing. We know that you are in charge in all circumstances, and so we just ask right now that you'd provide the medical attention that she needs. Father, as we have worshiped you and we've praised you and we have lifted up our voices to you, we just rest in your sovereign care, Lord, knowing that you're the great physician. And Father, we are overwhelmed by your goodness in each circumstance. Father, again, we lift up Miss Margaret. We ask for your healing touch upon her. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Is she okay? A thumbs up that Margaret is okay. So let's give God the glory for that. All right. Well, folks, I don't want to be long. I really can't add a lot to what we've already heard through song today, but I do want to bring a brief devotional as we wrap our time up together today. And as you know, we've been considering the three gifts that the wise men brought in Matthew chapter 2. So if you've got just a moment, let's look at Matthew chapter 2 together as we close out our time together today. And we have considered gold already. That was last week. And today I want to share just a few words about frankincense. So what an amazing gift. Kind of one of those things that we really, in our 21st century society, we kind of scratch our heads trying to figure out, how does frankincense really fit in the larger picture? What is this really all about? And the message is worship. And so I want us to look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. It's up on the screen, and this is what it says. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so, again, we looked at gold just last week, and I want to say a few words about frankincense this morning. Frankincense obviously represents worship, and that's exactly what we've done today. We've lifted up our voices in song as we have magnified the name of the Lord. And as we come together and think about this passage, we're all reminded that worship is really an attitude of the heart. And if you really think about our culture and society today, we are wired in the way that we are made. We are made to worship. God created us for the purpose of worshiping Him. And yet in our culture today, sadly, oftentimes we find ourselves worshiping the things of this world. Maybe we worship sports, the god of sports, or maybe we have a hobby, music or art, whatever it may be, and we worship those things, and we allow those things to intercede, so to speak, and get in the way between ourselves and God. But we're reminded as we think about the gift of frankincense that when we go back and look in the Old Testament, whether it be Leviticus chapter 6, or in Exodus chapter 30, we read about how the priests, they would sprinkle that frankincense, and it would be a gift to God. It would be an offering to God, a burnt offering. And we're reminded that's exactly what our worship is to be to the Lord. And so I want you to imagine for just a moment as these wise men, the Magi, they bring this gift of frankincense to the child Jesus. And it points to the fact that Jesus' purpose is to provide the way of salvation for us. He truly is our intercessor. He is our mediator between us and God the Father. He is our avenue to forgiveness, and He's the doorway to salvation. And so I want you to notice briefly on the back of your bulletin this morning, I have three things that I want to share when we think about Christ as our priest. Because really, when we think about frankincense, that's what we're reminded of, that Christ truly is our high priest. I am thankful that we have a mediator between us and God, that God provided the way of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so as we think of these different things. I think the first one I want to point out, number one on your outline, is simply this, that Christ as priest is our mediator. Well, how do we know that? Well, we have another passage I want us to look at, Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. This is what it says. But he, that is Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And so Christ truly, as priest, is our mediator. That's exactly what the Old Testament priests would do. They would go between God and man and plead the case of the people to God. I'm thankful that we do not plead our own case. Why? Because we're broken, we're fallen people in need of salvation, and there is no way in our own efforts, in our own accomplishments, in our own deeds, that somehow we could plead our own case. Only Jesus can plead our case. I mean, that's the heartbeat of the gospel. Jesus is our mediator. He serves as the bridge between God and ourselves. I mean, that's really what a mediator does, a bridge between two parties. And you can't have a relationship with God the Father without going through the mediator, God the Son. The world will tell you today that there's many avenues and paths to God, but the truth of the matter is simply this. The gospel is very clear about this. Jesus is the only way to God the Father. He is our mediator. And so Christ, as priest, is our mediator, just like the Old Testament priests would do. But secondly, I would say this, he is our intercessor. In other words, he prays for us. That's what one of the roles of the priest was. He was an intercessor. He would pray earnestly for the people. Well, how do we know that this is what Christ does for us? Well, the author of Hebrews makes that clear. Again, verse 25, it says this, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Did you know that God the Son, that is Jesus Christ, is praying for you right now? Do you know and understand that he is pleading your case to the Father? And he prays for you very specifically. It's a beautiful thing to know that Christ as priest is our intercessor. When we go back and look at the Old Testament and think about the priests of that day, they were limited on what they could do. They were limited on what they could do because of time and space. But yet, Christ eternally is the one who prays for us. Third and finally, I'd say this, Christ as priest is our Savior. I mean, really, as we have heard these songs today, all of it culminates with this whole understanding that Christ is the way of salvation. I don't care what the world tells you. The world may tell you that you can accomplish everything by popularity or by position or finances, or find happiness in all the different avenues that the world offers. But the only way that we can truly find peace and fulfillment is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the only way. And so when we think about the role as a priest, Christ as priest is our Savior. Notice again in verse 25, it says this, consequently, he is able to do what? He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God. The greatest need we have is salvation. I can't stress that enough. I mean, as we celebrate this time together today through song and as we think about frankincense this morning, I can't stress this enough, that the greatest need that we have truly is salvation. And I don't know everybody's background here. I don't know your testimony. I don't know your story. Maybe you're visiting today. Maybe you're listening by way of social media. But I will say this. We all have something in common. And that common factor, that common need that we have is salvation. Why? Because we're all sinners. The Bible says that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all broken the standard that God has set. And the only way that that standard can be made right is through Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us. I mean, that's at the heart of the gospel. And so, yeah, we think about these wise men, these magi, as they came and brought these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And We ponder about frankincense, and it all points to worship. It points to Christ as our high priest. And it points to the fact, and it may not be popular today, but it points to the fact that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And so my question to all of us today as we think about these things and take spiritual inventory in our hearts is, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Is he your high priest? I want every head bowed and every eye closed. And maybe you're here today and you've heard the message in song. As the choir and the musicians led us in worship, every song pointed to Jesus Christ. The focal point was Jesus Christ. The purpose in the message was Jesus Christ. And as we've had a few thoughts on frankincense today, it's all about Jesus Christ. And so I want to ask you a question this morning. If you were to die tonight, God forbid that happen, but if you were to die tonight, do you know for absolute certain that you'd spend eternity in heaven? I think we all know after the week that we've had as a church family, nobody is guaranteed tomorrow. The Bible says there's none righteous, not even one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible also says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Does that describe you? Is that your testimony, that there's been a point in your life when you have called out to Jesus for salvation? I'm not asking you if you're a Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or Pentecostal or Church of Christ. Let's put all that aside. I'm simply asking you this. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you don't, we invite you today to step forward as we have a gospel invitation. And we would be honored to sit down with you and show you within the pages of God's Word what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so maybe that describes you. Maybe you need to trust Him today. Maybe you're here today and you have another decision you need to make. Maybe it's for believer's baptism or church membership. Or maybe you just want to come and pray. As always, we invite you to come and do business with the Lord here at the altar. I'd be honored to encourage you through prayer. But as we have this invitation, just as we have sung today, just as we have heard through the Scriptures, it's all about Jesus. Heavenly Father, we give you this invitation. Lord, as we come to the close of this service, we pray that you would stir the hearts of our people. And Lord, that people would just be touched by the message that they've heard today through song. And Lord, that we would grow closer to you. Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs to do business with you, we pray that you would just lead them to do so, that they'd be obedient during this gospel invitation. Father, we love you, and we ask this in the powerful, precious name, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand.
Just